tread on me. The time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my freedom, God's only son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Into the Show, second hour here on this Thursday, June 12th, 2025 edition of Your Defending Fathers with Chuck and Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Basically spending the first hour talking about this Senate Bill 304, focusing mostly on what it would do if passed by the voters of the people on Mackinac Island, the city of Mackinac Island, in a next election. Well, the big, of course, attention getter was the ferry services. Them being able to license, regulate the fees that they charge ferry customers, baggage, parking, all of that that takes place on the mainland. Mackinac Island wants to control it. But when I open the bill itself, the first few paragraphs are pretty interesting. Something that you would think they would already have the ability to pass ordinances on their little island. Well, on page 2, it gives specific powers to the city council to pass such ordinances in relation to the exercise of the same as they may deem proper, namely, first, to restrain and prevent vice and immorality, gambling, noise and disturbances, indecent or disorderly conduct or assemblages, and to be able to punish for the same, to prevent and quell riots, to preserve peace and good order, to protect the property of the corporation, of its inhabitants, and of any association, public or private corporation, or congregation therein, and to punish for injuries thereto, or for any unlawful interference therewith. That's the first main purpose of giving the city council the power. Second, to apprehend and punish vagrants, truants, mendicants, street beggars, drunkards, and persons found drunk in any of the public streets or places in the city, disorderly persons, and persons conducting themselves in a disorderly manner in any of the public streets or places within the city, and common prostitutes. Third, to prevent injury or annoyance from anything dangerous, offensive, or unhealthy, to prohibit and remove anything tending to cause or promote disease, to prevent and abate nuisances, and to punish those occasionally from them, with them, or neglecting to refuse to abate, discontinue, or remove the same. Fourth, to prohibit and suppress all disorderly houses and places, houses of ill fame, gambling houses, in any and all places where persons resort for gaming or to play games of chance, and to punish the keepers thereof. Fifth, to regulate or license the use of billiard tables, 9 or 10 pin alleys or tables, and ball alleys. Six, to prohibit and suppress every species of gaming, and to authorize the seizure and destruction of all instruments thereof. You're telling me that the city of Mackinac Island does not already have these authorities, these powers to pass these type of ordinances? It's got to be put into this bill, John DeMoose? Really? We're going to shift gears. We've got a guest in the next segment. Still waiting to hear from George Ranville. Word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
If you have pain in your back, neck, shoulders, hip, knees, wrists, or feet, Dr. Gary Willey's Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic laser treatment for you. This technology takes away pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience robotic laser pain relief at a special new customer price. Call us for fast relief Monday through Wednesday to learn more and to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
Gun owners in northern Michigan don't have to go far to get their firearm problem solved. Curtis Gunsmithing handles all gun work, adjustments, bluing, rebarreling, cleaning, and even FFL transfers. Need a stock refinished or some custom work done? How about a trigger job? That's right. Let the gun doctor, Tom Curtis of Curtis Gunsmithing, take care of old Betsy. She'll be in good hands. Call 231-347-3487. That's 347-3487. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey.
Antrim County Conservative Union 6th Annual Fun Shoot and Pig Roast, Saturday, July 19th from noon till 4 p.m. in Central Lake, Michigan. Come join us. Bring your firearms and ammo as the safety gun ranges will be open. They will be serving an iron pig smoked pulled pork dinner with all the fixings, including Trucker Randy's world-famous carrot cake. Check out all the details and make a donation for your tickets at their website, acconservatives.org, or call 231-420-8320. See you there!
Maybe you're looking to sell an old firearm that's been sitting around the house just collecting dust. Or maybe you've been thinking it's time to upgrade to a newer model or caliber. Either way, the place to go is Curtis Gunsmithing in Petoskey. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, they buy and sell pretty much anything that goes boom when you pull the trigger. Except rocket launchers, they don't buy or sell those. So if you're looking for a new firearm or just want to sell old Betsy, you're sure to get a fair price and friendly service to boot at Curtis Gunsmithing in Petoskey.
Do you have a fear of running out of money during retirement? Or maybe worried about another market crash as the one we experienced in 2008? I have solutions. Whether it's for education, family, retirement, gift giving, or simple protection of your hard-earned money, I have a number of contractual guaranteed payouts to choose from. Call Laura today at Bogdan Insurance, 231-264-6890. Again, 231-264-6890. Serving Northern Michigan since 1998.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
Everybody, welcome back into the show, a second segment of hour number two. Joining us on the line right now is Jonathan Deek. He's part of Institute for Family Justice Organization. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning, Randy.
You went, I believe, to Washington, D.C. to attend a rally, an event down there. Tell the folks all about it.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it was a two-day event, Friday and Saturday of last week. And we had a bunch of parents fly in from all over the nation who are victims of this predatory court system. We had a lot of speakers come in and explaining their case and their situations about how the courts just generally completely ignore their constitutional rights, ignore the rules of court, and they've just basically have taken their children from them. You know, and so we had a bunch of people come out and fill out affidavits. There's a gentleman there looking to take these to the Supreme Court about what's going on, you know, trying to get the Supreme Court, which controls all of the courts in the nation, to, like, you know, shed some light on this and so we can get some change, right? Because right now, if the courts can take your children without any kind of impunity, what's left? What kind of freedoms are left if the courts are willing, able to just come in and take your children without following the rule of law?
Now, this event, this rally, totally organic. You guys put it together. You put it out there. A lot of people came. But, I mean, this is happening all across the country. I mean, what, for example, who were some of the people there? What states were they from?
Yeah, we had people from Ohio, from Florida, from New York, from Michigan, from Wisconsin, those are the ones that, Texas, California, those are the ones that I met that I remember, but there were people from all over. We had so many speakers, it was quite the event, really.
Now, let me ask you this point. If this many states, people living in all these various states, living within counties that deal with the court system, basically each county is set up to have its own family court, the friend of the court, the local court systems.
Mm-hmm.
If this is this prevalent across the entire country, we've got a real issue here. We've got a real problem. And is there anything that legislatively can be done to change the court system, or does it have to go all the way to the Supreme Court?
Well, the legislature is another avenue, and the legislature can help. The problem is the legislature is a popularity contest, and that changes every 4 years. And so laws can come and they can go. You know, if you get something to the Supreme Court, it has a lot. It not only binds the one state that it came from, it binds all of the states. So it's a more effective means of restoring justice.
Got it. Because that way it's the law of the land. That's
correct.
Famous for politicians, what they love to use when the Supreme Court makes a decision. So let me ask you this question. Do you think this effort, this cause, these people that came together, do you think they're in a position financially to be able to take it through the court system, getting it all the way to the Supreme Court? Is that a possibility?
I know that one of the parents that I'm working with is there, and we just got a petition for a writ of certiorari before the Supreme Court law 2 weeks ago. We just got the docket number. I helped her put it together. I took it to a printer for her, got it perfectly bound, and I mailed it to her. And now that question's currently pending before the Supreme Court.
Now, that question, what is it specifically that she's petitioning the Supreme Court for? What would it actually do? What would they hear in this case?
Sure. Can the courts deny a child access to the parent based upon a medical report that the parent was not allowed to review nor assist their counsel in representation of defense against said report? So there was some piece of evidence that they were not allowed to review that was used to deny them access to their children. Is that constitutional?
It's that simple. It's that straightforward.
That's straightforward.
Wow. Well, medical report. So just to be clear on this thing, you've got a situation. How did that language get put in there? What was the reasoning, justification that you chose to go with that particular wording in your petition to the Supreme Court?
It's very clear cut. You know, it was an evaluation from a psychologist. Psychologist made a recommendation to the court. Only the judge got to review it. The parties didn't get to review it, so they didn't get a chance to be able to adequately defend themselves against this report. And so can the courts rely upon a piece of evidence that was not provided to both parties so that they're able to rebut said evidence?
Got it. Now, is this person have the ability to have representation. An attorney has to be approved to present arguments to the United States Supreme Court. Are they in a position to have that kind of attorney represent them in this case?
I don't think you actually have to have an attorney in the Supreme Court. They have their own things for how to do a pro se. She's had attorneys in the past. They have all done her wrong. Let me tell you what, there's an algorithm for what it costs for an attorney in family court. And it's not $200 an hour, it's not $400 an hour, it's not a $5,000 or $10,000 retainer. It is everything that you have to spend, plus everything that you can borrow. That has been the price that it costs for an attorney in family court. And it's very unfortunate. It's very unfortunate. So now she's doing it herself. She's a very capable woman, very smart, you know, and she does a lot of great writing. And so she's taking it there on her own.
Interesting, because I had of course it was an attorney that explained it to me, but you had to basically hire an attorney that's approved by the United States Supreme Court to bring a case before it. So I'm not questioning whether you're right or not. I was told that years ago. As a matter of fact, I was given a list of three attorneys in Michigan that have that status, that has that ability to argue in front of the Supreme Court.
Yeah, that would have been a very self-serving thing that attorney said. One of the biggest problems that we have in this nation is the Bar Association not having any competition. All of the judiciary is attorneys. Most of the politicians and a lot of our presidents have all been members of the Bar Association. And the only way to be able to access justice generally is to go through somebody that's part of that corporation. Well, that, in my opinion, is a monopoly. And because it's a monopoly without competition, you know, it's ripe for corruption. And so we need to look at having an alternative organization, an alternative path to justice, so that the competition can thrive, so that people have a choice. So that people have a choice between the Bar Association and something else.
Got it. Well, the bottom line is, obviously, based on what you had set up for your Institute for Family Justice and the steps you were laying out, sounds like this possibly may have been expedited, what your original plan was, based on this woman's case already being prepared to go to the Supreme Court.
Well, this is part of what I want to do. Now, I can't represent her, but I did talk to her a lot, and I did help her do some research tools, and I got her onto different things to be able to give her as much support as possible for her doing this. But unfortunately, I'm not able yet to provide representation for her yet until either I get enough funding to be able to hire the lawyers or I finish law school and I'm the lawyer.
Got it. Well, it's pretty interesting, and I've had a lot of people reach out to me. They've looked up your website. I don't know if they've reached out to you yet, but definitely, this is an issue that is very near and dear to a lot of people's hearts. Seems like a lot of this is happening all across not only Michigan but the country, and it's pretty interesting for this to be such a large problem that we've had for quite a few years that finally, I guess, is coming to a head, and you guys are the ones bringing it to everybody's attention.
Absolutely. I'm out there networking parents all the time, and a lot of people are upset. They don't know what to do, and what I'm helping them with is I'm providing solutions. These are some of the most fundamental pitfalls of the family court that we can litigate to try and restore the rights, try to make this a lot better of a solution for everyone. You know, if we take these cases, if people start asking and demanding these rights and we get them restored, things will change.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, the website, if you guys want to go and check it out, Institute, the number 4FJ.com, I4FJ.com is the website. And if you'd like to get a hold of Jonathan, the phone number is 231-330-6825. Again, 231-330-6825. Final thoughts before I let you go for today, Jonathan?
Yeah, you know, if you can and you have the ability, we're looking for funding. You know, every little bit helps, you know. We've got a P.O. box. You can mail some stuff to you. You can call me. I can take credit cards. We need to get the website updated to make it a little bit easier in order to take donations. And it all takes money. You know, I'm giving out my time freely every day. But if we can start getting some financial support, we can start making this happen a lot quicker. So if you have anything you can give, we're ready to take it. Please, please help me.
Very good. Appreciate your time. Stay safe out there, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Randy. Have a great day.
You too. Greatly appreciate Jonathan and leaving the meeting here from the studio. I want to make sure everybody understands that this is something that's been happening absolutely for years. When we started talking with Jonathan about a month ago, my text line blew up. I had stories from people all across the state of Michigan, legal battles that they had been fighting for years, finally getting custody of children. This is a real issue, people. So, again, if you're interested, if you want to help fund this effort, again, you can reach them on the website, the number 4FJ.com, or you can give them a call, 231-330-6825. If you'd like this information, I can send you the screenshot of the contact, the website. Just text me family. I got this set up in my phone to respond to you. If you text me family, I can send you the information. And greatly appreciate everything Jonathan and his organization is doing. And wish him well. Hopefully they can raise some money and get some things going. And perhaps be able to afford attorneys if needed, to argue these cases in the Supreme Court. We'll keep following this up and keep you guys abreast of what's going on. If you know somebody that is having problems, having issues with family courts, friend of the court, dysfunctional families, parents using the kids against one another, highly recommend that you reach out, get a hold of Jonathan, and see if you guys can get some advice on how to deal with the situation. Hopefully make it better for everybody, especially the kids. The kids should not be used as pawns against the parents. It's unhealthy. It's not good for the kids. It's not good for the relationships with the parents. And we just wish everybody well and would love to see certain changes in the court system to make this better for everybody. Again, especially the children. Got a text message from George. We're going to hold off from saying anything else until the Mackinac City Village officials are debriefed as to what was happening in Lansing. I'll give them a call during the break, get clarification on things. We'll have more information for you regarding the Senate Bill 304. So, yes, definitely. Understand what George is saying. I'll have a conversation with them and hopefully be able to report it to you here before the end of the show. But feels like he wants to get back to the village officials and talk with them before he comes on the radio. So greatly appreciate that. Understand totally. I get it. But I'll give him a call during the break and then let you know what we can let you know at this point. So, again, Senate Bill 304, Mackinac Island, the city of Mackinac Island, trying to change a law from 1899. We're going to take a bottom of the hour news break. We'll be right back.
This is Michigan News Source, Michigan's leading